Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and
conditions. 18 plus. It's my birthday today.
Well, why haven't you told anyone?
I'm pregnant, single, and on an island in the middle of nowhere. Doesn't really matter that it's my birthday, does it?
I guess not. But at least your birthdays will be close together, you and your baby, and that's good luck.
Yeah? You think?
Yeah, I do.
You believe in that? Luck?
I believe in a lot of things. That should do it.
Okay, I give up. What is it? It's a cradle.
Happy birthday.
Down the hatch!
Seamless audio transition, right?
Lost is over, but we have to go back down the hatch. It is the Lost Down the Hatch first birthday spectacular here on post-show recaps of Josh Booger, providing the voice of Down the Hatch was Mike Bloom. Which was a surprise to me.
I realized in pulling that clip, though, we have a bit of our own good luck here because, yeah. Josh, you know, this is coming out on 8/15, which is the birthday of Down the Hatch.
Yep.
My own birthday is 8/19. Mm. And I guess, much like Claire, my podcast child and I have very similar birthdays.
Yeah. See, it's good luck. I hope someone's built you a cradle that you couldn't identify.
Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. Wow. Mike, one frickin' year of Down the Hatch. Can you believe it?
I mean, it's felt like both 1 month and 10 years based on what's been going on in the world.
Yes.
We've talked about actually a little over 50 Lost episodes combined. If you include the podcast, we have bonuses stuff that were thrown in there. Obviously, many, many more hours than 50 actually talking about the episodes. We were so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed walking in. And I would actually wager to say that our eyes have grown brighter and our tails even bushier from being able to talk about this. I mean, I don't know. I'm someone who came in, had obviously watched a lot of Lost, but I was excited to get into it from a granular perspective. And as we're going to get into with delving into some clips from Podcast Pass, it has exceeded my expectations vastly, even the high expectations I set for this podcast to begin with.
Yeah, you know, there were some moments leading up to the launch of the podcast where, you know, I think like heading into this podcast, I don't know that I don't think it's unfair to say that I was the bigger Lost fan of the two of us.
Definitively. Yeah.
I think like this is like very definitively my favorite thing ever. I spend so much time thinking about these characters and I've watched the show a million times. And I've like started and stopped a few rewatches in the past, in terms of like, I did like a blog project, it didn't work out. And so I had like Lost Lives, the podcast we did before Down the Hatch, a bunch of false starts. I had a lot of like nerves that we weren't gonna like get this far. I felt like I knew myself well enough to know like, Wiggler's not gonna do it. Wiggler's gonna cop out at some point. He's gonna have some sort of mental health breakdown. He's gonna have to walk away. I haven't walked away yet. I can't say I haven't had mental health breakdowns along the way. But yeah, and like, so 8/15/2020 is the 1 year anniversary of 8/15/2019 when we launched Down the Hatch, and the world is very, very different. And in many ways worse. And there are also ways in which, like, this corner of my universe has just grown brighter. And that has been such a delight to have every single week that, like, it's at the point now where I have, like, external forces notwithstanding, I have no doubt that we will finish the rewatch. And, like, the question is, like, do we do something beyond that? And like, that is a far future problem at this point. But
I say that now, cut to our second birthday when we're like, oh crap, it's like 4 months away. What are we going to do next?
I know. It's very likely. It's very likely that we'll be pulling this clip, a year from now and responding to it and be like, did I say that? And then like the clip ends there and I'm like, did I say that? And then the clip ends there.
Oh my God.
For the third year birthday.
It's like Funhouse Mirrors.
Yes, exactly. So, I have just had the best time. This has been one of my very favorite things to have ever been involved with, professionally, personally, any of that. It's been ridiculous that we've had so many people along for the ride.
Oh my God.
We're constantly getting our inboxes flooded with incredible emails about Lost, which we're not always able to read on the air. But we are reading in with our eyes and our brains every time they come through. And it's just a delight that this show that's been over for so long has continue to be this source of happiness for so many of us while so much else is off balance. So I've had a blast, and I think what I'm really excited for, about today, and just like to tell you what the gist of what we're getting into today is, we're taking a quick break from our season 3 rewatch. We are currently in between Every Man for Himself and The Cost of Living. This is an optional podcast. You do not have to listen to this podcast.
It's not part of the curriculum.
You've got a lot of podcasts in your queue. I'm sure feel free to leave this one out. Leave it out. If you've got too much, whatever show is, whatever things that you're listening to right now, and this is just one more. It's not mandatory. What it is a clip show. We're gonna go back and we're gonna listen to stuff that we've said over the course of the year that we have been doing Down the Hatch. I believe we have 15 clips, Mike? 16 clips?
I think we ended up settling on 15, tried and true Lost number. And yet compare this to essentially those myriad episodes that came on before premieres and finales where Lloyd Braun would sort of like talk through Lost up to that point. So just in case if somehow you were in the middle of 2007 and you're like, oh, I want to check this Lost show out. What's been going on so far? Because you don't have the capacity to catch up from the beginning like we might nowadays. You would then get this kind of weird narrated montage of what characters were doing up to that point, which of course got like more and more complex as more and more characters got involved. That essentially is the podcast version of this, where there's going to be a lot of us talking in the past tense, and there'll be some occasional talking about us in the present tense. And to make sure we don't confuse the two, I've taken the liberty of throwing in the infamous Michael Giacchino flashback noises.
Brilliant.
In and out of each clip. So just listen for those timpanis if you want to know exactly where we are. And that's one of the many fantastic things that I got to learn from this podcast, Josh, was that his name is not Michael Giacchino. It's Michael Giacchino.
Yeah, but I'll still say Giacchino because I'm an idiot. This is going to be great because my process is I podcast, and as soon as I'm done, like I've been formulating thoughts leading into the podcast. I have insight written out. I've got jokes written out. I've got room for spontaneity as well. But then the podcast is done recording and I very quickly forget what I've said.
It's a Snapchat mentality for this podcast. I take a look and then it disappears.
Like historically, I have a very bad memory for what I've said and what I have not said on podcasts before. Like people will bring up references of stuff. I'm like, I'm sure that I said that, but I don't remember saying it. So you have listened to these clips already. I have not. So it is going to be very interesting to see like, wait, we said that? But we'll see what's familiar, what I stand by, what I don't. I think is going to be fun, though I have a feeling that this podcast is probably going to be less about like the analysis and like the serious stuff we do with Lost and probably more about the ridiculousness of the past year. Is that how we're going to guide ourselves forward?
Yeah, it's safe to say that some of our great conversation, like, you know, maybe sitting on characters that we were not really fans of before but became fans of, like Shannon, for instance, or looking at early episodes through the lens of mental health, as you and I have both used this time between rewatches to really reconcile with that and try to work on resources to help ourselves and seeing ourselves in common with Hurley. Those serious conversations are sort of put in a corner right now. These clips, which were very courteously compiled by the great Ben Behind the Curtain, what with you know, propositions from the crowd out there, including the RHAP patrons, it's gonna be a lot of silly. So it's gonna be a lot of laughing in the moment, a lot of us laughing at our laughing. There's gonna be a lot of ridiculousness going on, which I think also speaks to our podcast. Look, those of you that are listening, which I don't know how I could talk to people who aren't listening, but I'm so happy you chose Down the Hatch. There are a bunch of Lost podcasts out there at the time. They are fantastic in their own right. But I feel like ours definitely, it has its own uniqueness in that we are willing to take a step into the absurd and the weird and the silly, absolutely. And I think that this is going to wholly underline the brand that we have here on DTH.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Big idiots.
We're the dumb ones. We're the dumb podcast. There's like the smart ones that are out there, the Storm, the Hatch. We're the dumb Lost podcast.
Oh, you want to listen to the dumb Lost podcast.
Yeah, if you want to listen to the dumb Lost podcast, this is the dumb Lost podcast, and this is like the best of the best dumb things we've said over the course of a year. It's great. I'm excited. This is going to be so stupid and embarrassing.
It really is. I mean,
no.
And I mean, there's going to be stupid and embarrassing clips for a couple of us. Yeah. And you know what, Josh? Let's start at the very beginning here. A very good place to start.
Yes. How about you be? You could be. You're John Locke. I'm Boone. I'll be dead by the end of the podcast from embarrassment. You can guide us through the jungle, through the course that you've charted out for us here on this special
podcast. Well, I have good news for you, Josh.
Podcast.
After you die at the end of this podcast, you will be able to come back and visit me. But I have bad news about your hair.
Yeah, so. My hair is going to look really great.
All right. Well, let's move into the, let's move into our first clip here. And let's start in the first couple of minutes of Down the Hatch. So even before our episode one podcast, we put out a podcast on 8:15 called In Which We Go Back, which really set up this huge monolithic project that we are currently in the middle of. And let's hear how we introduced this podcast to the audience. So we'll quickly find out that this was not exactly the introduction to Down the Hatch for a lot of post-show recaps listeners.
Lost is over, but we have to go back. Down the Hatch, it's the Lost Rewatch Podcast here on Post Show Recaps. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler. I am joined here by Mike Bloom. Mike, holy crap, we're doing this.
I'm having the most cluckety cluck cluck day ever, Josh. Imagine that this is finally happening. I mean, it's weird to say finally, because we should admit that this is probably what, like, the third iteration of some sort of Lost podcast going on Post Show Recap.
I think this is officially the third Lost podcast that we've done. Like, we did a reboot, and now this is like a brand new thing, but technically this is version 3.0 of the Lost podcast.
Yeah, this is the Tom Holland Spider-Man equivalent of Lost.
Hey, that's the best one!
I'm excited for it, personally. Give me all the Gyllenhaal coming onto the island, but, I mean, this is extremely exciting. This is a podcast that some may be surprised by. You and I did not foreshadow this whatsoever in over-the-top manners in any sort of podcasting we've been doing the past couple months. I count myself astronomically lucky that I get to participate in so many great podcasts across the podcast atmosphere, but I have to admit, Josh, no offense to the lovely people I get to podcast with, but this might be the most excited I am for a project in quite some time.
This is going to be really, really fun. This is, as Mike says, a long time in the making. This has been a podcast that I have wanted to do ever since Post Show Recaps was a thing. It is a thing that we have attempted in the past. We are going to make another run at the island here on Lost Down the Hatch. Not Lost Lives. This is Lost Down the Hatch, a rewatch podcast. We are officially rewatching Lost as a new podcast here on Post Show Recaps, a weekly series where one episode is coming your way every single week, except for when we announce time off here and there. But Mike and I, we've talked already, and we've been bouncing ideas back and forth for a couple of a few weeks now, almost a month or so. And there have been other moving pieces behind the scenes here for a few more months than that. I've already started calendarizing where we are going to be taking this podcast. And if we hit all of our marks, Mike, we're going to be getting to the season 3 finale in December 2020. Like, that's how far into the future we are talking about with this podcast. I think we've got a few more pressing, urgent matters to deal with before we start talking about 2020. And even then, December 2020 is not the 2020 month that I am most nervous about. Yes, it turned out I was nervous about all of them every month in 2020.
Yeah, baby Josh and baby Mike, I've got news for you. Like, 2020 is going to be, it's a bunch of months. It's a bunch of months.
As my great friend and yours, Antonio Mazzara, would say, 2020, it's a killer ride. Wow. You know what I'll say? Called the shot. We really haven't missed much. We've really planned pretty thoroughly this podcast to the point that, like, a year later, yeah, we're still on track for December 2020. That season 3 finale is still the deal.
Yeah, to the point where, Josh, you and I actually ended 2019 privately recording, what, like five episodes, yes, including the Megalith 5-hour Exodus podcast over the course of maybe 2 to 3 weeks because you were traveling and we wanted to make sure that we had a dedicated DTH each and every Friday to finish out season one. So, yeah. Nary a yadis here for Down the Hatch. Even the week that I moved, we were able to find a podcast to fill in the space. So we are trying to seamlessly
glide. We've hit it every single week, right? I don't think we've skipped a single week. That's awesome. That, like this whole podcast, I guess, is an opportunity to just, like, pat ourselves on the back, because if we don't do it, who's going to? But, like, this is like, I'm like doing that, like, that thing. My hands are clasped. I'm shaking them over my shoulders. Like, that's great. I'm pretty excited about that. The fact that we're, you know, a few episodes into season 3 now, and we haven't skipped a week, even if we've had to, like, get a little experimental at times. I think that's really fun. I'll say this, like, there's an energy that we pop off with at the top of this whole podcast series that I think, like, in a bubble, maybe doesn't make as much sense as it does to my memory of how this was recorded, because no one else was there with us. But, yeah, like, what we had done before Down the Hatch was we recapped Stranger Things season 3. And you and, yes, I recorded that podcast in a manner that was very similar to the way we recorded the end of season 1 of Lost, where you came to my office in New York City.
Oh my God, I got to be in person. That is very 2019.
Yeah, very 2019. We were hanging out in person, I think, over the course of, like, 2 days or so. We had, like, 2 days where we attacked the whole season and, like, binge recorded a bunch of podcasts to release them, like, a couple times a week. So that was, like, the energy that we had going into it. That was, like, the decider that, like, you were the guy that I wanted to do this with, because we had such a fun time doing Stranger Things. And I don't know if it's your superpower or your kryptonite, but you say yes to, like, everything.
I would say yes to it being both my superpower and my kryptonite.
Exactly. Like, I think it is a double-edged sword for you. So I knew that you would be in, and you would, like, really be excited about it. But, like, so that's, like, how we burst into Down the Hatch. You and I were already podcasting a lot at that point. And I think that, like, the tail end of Stranger Things stuff going into, like, we had a couple of one-offs after that. We had a Stranger Things RPG episode that we did, a couple of things. And, like, at that point, we knew we were getting into this mode. We were gearing up,
yes,
for what was going to be a really big podcast project. And that bookends really nicely with that, like, period where we did 5 episodes of podcasting at the end of 2019 to make sure, because I had a big trip that I was going on, that we didn't miss a single week for that entire time that I was there. And that is what? So that's 5 episodes, one of which was a 3-parter, which was, like, a 5.5-hour podcast. Yeah. We're doing, like, our 2-3-hour podcast thing for the other ones. That whole session from Stranger Things to the end of season 1 was an insane period of time where you and I were just talking to each other all the time.
Yeah, and also let's remember that I believe Stranger Things, because it had a 4th of July-based episode, I think it released around the beginning of July. So essentially the entire back half of 2019 was us working on a podcast in some way, shape, or form. Yep. And like we talked about, you know, the very first podcast that the two of us ever did together was a Lost podcast. I was part of the task force that was you, me, the aforementioned Antonio Mazzaro, and AJ Mass. We sort of did, we did a ranking of the episodes, but we did it in what in retrospect is such a weird way where we each like ranked an episode. So none of us had input on what the other person would say.
Yeah.
Essentially they were given the you know, staff to be able to make the ruling as to where that episode ranked. But then we sort of moved on, you know, we did a couple of episodes during the Lost Lives days. I remember we did a Quan episode around House of the Rising Sun and Ooh in translation. You and I got together and we did like back-to-back episodes about, I think it was the 10-year anniversary of the it was the 10-year anniversary of Exodus, and then immediately like the week after it was the 5-year anniversary of The End.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing as well, is that I think, you know, another reason why you were the one that really came up with the brainchild of DTH was not just the place you were in your life, and I didn't pull it, but you talk very beautifully in the In Which We Go Back podcast about sort of the emotional state you were at in the beginning of 2019 and how Lost served as that really essential comfort food to you. But we were able to celebrate so far in the first year two really big anniversaries as well. We got to celebrate the 15-year anniversary of the Lost pilot. I believe it came out, I want to say, like, maybe in the first month of podcast that we did or so, around, like, maybe White Rabbit, House of the Rising Sun.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
And on, this is not exactly on the podcast feed, but on the 10-year anniversary of The End, we had a very fun time one Saturday morning hopping on your Twitch stream. Yeah. We got to do sort of like a watch party of The End. We gave commentary. We ended up watching a little bit of Airplane afterwards accidentally, but that was a very
that was a
fun
great
time.
Moment.
So it's been awesome to commemorate Lost in so many ways. And one of the reasons is like the timing of everything, not just in you and I podcasting together, but also a bunch of big Lost milestones from a macro perspective has been really, really interesting.
So speaking of timing, I think that's a good segue into what I know you have pulled for the next clip. This feels like this is going to be hard to listen to. Where does the number 42 come in if it's not responsible for a segment? Well, 42 minutes, that is the guaranteed minimum amount of time you will be getting from an episode of Down the Hatch. Conversely, every episode of Down the Hatch, we will guarantee it. We will clock in at a maximum 108 minutes, which is the sum total of all of the numbers. We will never present to you an episode that exceeds 108 minutes, except if you look at your time codes right now, you'll notice that we're getting very close to exceeding that 108 minute maximum, and we do not want to do that. That is the last thing we want to do, because if Mike Bloom and I podcast about Lost on any given week for longer than 108 minutes, then my friends, I am afraid to tell you that we have a crisis on our hands. God, you pushed the button, Mike.
Oh, boy. Well, that was not a great way to start. A little spook right out of the gate there.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So 108 minutes. If we exceed 108 minutes on any given episode of Down the Hatch, Mike, we have triggered a crisis. An electromagnetic crisis has occurred.
Yes, everyone, get your electronic devices away from your podcast, you know, a device of choice. Actually, don't. Because what this crisis involves is more stuff Lost-wise to be coming into your podcast feed.
Yeah. So the crisis, it's more like a crisis for Mike and I.
Scheduling-wise.
It means that we have to add more to the plate, which is not exciting for us necessarily unless we are doing stuff that's really, really
fun, but it's just, it's more to do, and nobody wants to do more things. The crises will manifest in the form of Mike and I producing bonus episodes of Down the Hatch. So if, and quite honestly, when the occasion arises that we are exceeding the 108-minute time limit, we're going to borrow a page from the great Robin Akiva Need a Podcast playbook. We will spin a frozen donkey wheel of podcast options whichever one we settle on will be the crisis episode, the bonus crisis episode. That's going to include, but aren't limited to, guest interviews. I'm sure Survivor Lost, the simulation.
Oh, that is a long time coming.
The Lindelof, a.k.a. the lost version of the Wandoff.
Yes!
Which is a song parody competition, if you don't know what the Wandoff is. And if you don't know what the Wandoff is, I'm a little surprised and slightly offended. Other things like that. Maybe the lost RPG. Who knows? Plenty of options. We're open to suggestions. We are soliciting suggestions if you want to send us things to put on the frozen donkey wheel. But we're hopeful we're not going to be triggering too many crises. I think like 4 per season, that sounds fun.
Yeah,
that sounds fine by me.
Yeah, and we
more than that, and we'll have to reevaluate the rules.
And one caveat, though, the 108-minute rule limit will not apply to our recaps of multi-part episodes.
Yes, aka, absolutely.
You know, finales are usually a big to do. There might be the pilot, for example, I'm sure that is going to go over our allotted time. So we're going to give ourselves a little bit of, dare I say, wiggle room here with striking those from the rule that we've set up. Well, that was a lie.
Wow, to be young.
To be so naive as to think you could do a Lost podcast that goes under 108 minutes.
To be so naive to think that Josh Winkler could do a podcast under 108 minutes. Or
no,
even you,
both
Mike
of us,
Boom.
Josh. Nah, we are two of the most gregarious people on the RATP network. And you just put it together and it's
way
it's,
too kind of a description for us, I think.
It's additive, you know? Yeah. It's like when you say two horses put together can like pull 100 times their own weight. We just feed each other way too much.
Oh my god. Yeah. So obviously that didn't stick.
To be fair, we tried to make it stick. I would want to say for the first like maybe half of season 1.
No. Well, for the first few episodes, it became clear that we were going to be triggering this like every single time.
Yeah.
And my memory of it is getting like I would stop short of saying it was like an outright panicked text from you, but it was definitely a concerned text from you where you're like, we have to really reevaluate that rule. I think like my marriage could be in trouble.
Yeah, or at least my parenting, my custodial rights might be in jeopardy.
You were like, Angela's going to be like really upset with me if I do like 2 Lost podcasts a week. It's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be really upset with both of us if we're doing 2 Lost podcasts every single week. And it was definitely trending that way. And I think to know me at all is to know that like I throw out a really big idea that I'm very, very excited about without having really thought it all the way through, even though like I will come with like a lot of thoughts behind the thing, but I've not really thought like the physical, real, like actual consequences of what this thing I'm suggesting is going to be. And it must be a very frustrating experience to either be my friend, family member, or colleague, or even somebody who listens to my stuff, because I often have like a big idea and then I have to walk away from it or change it because it suddenly dawns on me like, no, that is impossible. That is just not something that we can do. And this was a big one. We really thought that we were going to be able to do it. The more we got into it, I think also like the more fun we were having it within the contexts of the discussions. I think it was a funny idea. But I think that it was starting to become like detrimental to the discourse. Or at least we would have to like do like a significant editing job on the podcast. And we don't have the time or resources to do that, to be completely honest with everybody. Like, it's just not something that we can do. That's a big piece of why these podcasts end up being so long. It's like, we just gotta run them. We don't have like a full team here. We've got a lot of great people who work with us behind the scenes. But you know, they have their time is precious as well. So we really try and bootstrap this, as best as we possibly can. So all of that swirled together to you and I being like, all right, let's eventually just like kill this thing. Like we'll have it that like every episode is like a minimum of 108 minutes. And then if we go, under that, then we've triggered a crisis. And I think we've kind of just abandoned the whole thing. We've never gone under 108
minutes. Yeah, we got close with, The Glass Ballerina and most recently with Every Man for Himself. I think those went like, an hour 50 something, but yeah, we've never gone. Actually, I don't know. I feel like the book club you guys did went over 2 hours. So like, I don't think we've really done any podcasts that have gone under that. But that being said, we haven't done away with the bonus shows,
right?
As you talked about, like starting in the beginning, we brought about the RPG. I think the first one we triggered was actually the Lindelof, which was less so the podcast and more so the, hey, send in songs for that. But we did a Lindelof. We've done a couple of RPG podcasts. We've done book club podcasts. We mentioned Survivor Lost, I believe, actually, a few months after you and I recorded that podcast. We got together with Rob Cesternino to do on the Rob Has a Podcast main feed Survivor Lost with the first season characters. We would then go on to really stretch the limits of our podcasting by doing Survivor The End of Extinction, where we took 20... quote-unquote infamous and randomly generated endings of Lost and put them in a Survivor simulation. So, like, we're keeping the spirit of bonus shows alive. We are just not slaves to the wheel.
Right. No, definitely not. And, like, we do them when we have the ability to do it. We do it when it seems like it's right to do it. There are definitely still ones that we've either have not done in a while. I know we're going to talk about the RPG later on in this podcast, but that is one that I'm really eager to get back to, time permitting. But life has gotten complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got other stuff that we're trying to do in addition to this podcast. And I think if there was ever a risk of the podcast not getting this far, that was it. Like, it was like, once we broke free of kind of like structural obligation, like another good example of that is like, it was originally like segmented out that we were going to play 8 sounds as like its own separate segment.
After we do the entire recap of the episode. In fact,
and we just folded it in. Yeah.
I think that maybe started, I want to say White Rabbit was the first time we really merged the two. Cause after that, we would go through the entire episode. And then we thought for some reason it was a brilliant idea to go back through the episode using 8 clips.
Oh, geez, Mike. Oh, geez. Yeah. So we've had a lot of really good ideas and a lot of really bad ones too. That definitely counts as one of the very bad ones. But we pivoted, and I think for the better. I've talked about this on other podcasts. I don't know if I've like outright said it on this one, but you'll notice like the 15-16 others section is leaner these days. We're not necessarily reading 15 to 16 pieces of feedback every week. We're reading as many as we can, but we often find that we get through a lot of the points that are raised in the feedback over the course of our ramblings of an episode to begin with. So we're just trying to like allow ourselves to be a little bit freer to the process, not slaves to the process. We just want to make sure that we're pumping out the best podcast that we possibly can. But man, that is a very painful and funny relic of the past to listen to. Oh, geez. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
We essentially did our own, like, searching through our tweets and posting bad takes from years ago, except it was a year ago this time. So let's use this Amazing. As a jumping off point, because the Ben Behind the Curtain has compiled several moments that sort of encapsulate the best, and I'll put best in quotations, of both yourself and myself, Josh. I have clips from
okay, so these are
us.
Not selected by either of us. This is
no,
this
no,
is,
no. Listen,
like
we're self-serving in this podcast,
Pizza Hut,
but we
Taco
are not
Bell of the listeners and Ben's suggestions as well.
Yeah, we are self-serving on this podcast, but we are not that self-serving. You know, like this is all compiled from the Ben Behind the Curtain and you listeners. Though these are also moments that I think it's safe to say you and I really enjoy as well. I don't think we're playing anything that we outright hate with maybe one exception in my case. But yeah, you're going to hear some Mike clips and some Josh clips to really highlight a lot of the kookiness and a lot of the weird places we went to over the course of Down the Hatch. And I think we should start with characters. We've created some characters. Of course, we're going to start the me section off with the first big character, new character that is, to premiere on Down the Hatch.
Lost is over, but we have to go back down the hatch. It's the Lost Rewatch Podcast here on Post Show Recaps for whatever the case may be. And I'm Josh Wigler, joined here by Mike Bloom, and we are just a couple of navel-gazing, no-fun, mopey types ready to talk about the worst episode of Lost ever!
Good evening, boys and ghouls. Mike Bloom could not be here, but I, Count Jacula, I'm here as the co-host this week.
This is an absolute nightmare, and I'm killing it now. It's done. Count Jacula is dead. Mike Bloom, come back.
No,
this is
Josh,
already going to be... What episode are we talking about?
Tabula Rasa?
Oh, God.
Would it be Grave?
No.
How about Through the Spooking Glass?
This is awful.
Oh, I think it's Whatever the Curse May Be.
This is your worst bit. This is the worst bit you've ever done, and
I hate it. Count Jacula, get out of here.
That was terrible.
Until next Halloween. Sorry, Josh. I'm a little bit late. I got held up at the bank, but I'm here now.
Oh, my God. Thank God you are here. If I had to do this with Count Jacula, I think that Lost Down the Hatch would have lasted 12 episodes of a podcast, and that would have been it.
To be fair, I think Count Jacula should have had a more nasally voice, but it's very tough to do both a Jack impression and a vampire impression in the same breath.
No, you did a great job. You did a fantastic job. Oh my gosh. The only thing worse than Whatever the Case May Be is Count Jacula. That's the bottom of the barrel as far as it goes.
Just wait until there's a deleted scene or Lost 2 when they repeat this episode and, you know, one of the poor hostages gets gunned down and then he comes back to life as a vampire. And then that's the person chasing Kate. It's not Edward Mars anymore. It's Edward the vampire.
Count Jacula, obviously the smoke monster. It's not even a question.
Yeah, absolutely. He's more of a mist monster at this point, but I think definitely a vaporous villain if he wasn't. Yeah.
That was such a nightmare.
And Count Jacula wanted me to wish you a happy
anniversary. No, stop. Oh, my God. That was one of my most surprised moments of the podcast was when you came in as Count Jacula. It's like, holy shit, what is happening right now? What is going on right now? It was a beautiful nightmare, but it was a nightmare.
Josh, you know, Halloween's only a couple months away.
No!
The full moon might be coming out soon.
What episode was that for?
Whatever the Case May Be, if you didn't get it from Count Jacula's punny title.
So it was from Whatever the Case May Be. Got it.
Yes. Because I believe it was coming out on Halloween Day on October 31st.
That's right. Yeah, and I think, like, I was already, like, triggered coming into talking about Whatever the Case May Be because I hate that episode. And then you starting that way was so unsettling. I was just, like, deeply unnerved by what you had done. One of my favorite things about podcasting with you specifically is the ways in which we try to, like, punk each other. It happens.
Well, it happens. I'm glad you brought that up because you mentioned that this is one of the times you were genuinely surprised on the podcast. Let's bring up another one, and I would say this is a new character, but I did not do his voice.
I don't know. I love you, Phoebe. Doesn't have quite the same ring to it as I love you, Penny.
We're gonna have to take some work, Josh, to work on our Scottish brogue. Luckily,
I love you, Penny.
Luckily, I brought in a teacher to help us. So I'm just gonna he'll come back in with Desmond, but I just want to say hello to our teacher.
Hey!
Who is that?
Shrek.
It's Shrek.
You dense, irritating, miniature beast of burden!
Wow, Shrek. We're just teaching Josh, okay, how to speak in a Scottish brogue.
All right, so some inside baseball on how Down the Hatch works. If you haven't been able to figure it out by now, Mike has the keys to the soundboard. I do not. I have no ability to insert the sounds into Down the Hatch. So, like, almost any time there's, like, an audio gag on Down the Hatch, it's all on Mike Bloom. And you always surprise me with this stuff. Like, when you learned how to speak Korean, and then French, and now Shrek.
Look, I'm sorry, all right?
Don't need to apologize, Shrek. It's okay.
Mike, did you assemble a Shrek soundboard or are you just using a Shrek soundboard?
No!
No, I found one online.
All right, good. I was going to say that you have a child, Mike. You can't be spending your free time building Shrek soundboards.
Do I have a child or do I have a
little donkey?
Oh, well, now I'm not going to ever be able to think about Desmond without thinking about Shrek.
Yeah, I think we made Shrekmond a thing now.
Shrekmond.
Shrekmond.
Oh, my God. I recommend you forget about Shrekmond as quickly as humanly possible.
And yet, how could we? How could we? How could we forget about Shrekmond?
Exactly. We were trying to forget about Shrekmond, and then Shrekmond replied.
Whoa. Hold on now.
We cannot get rid of him.
You know what's funny is that as I was re-listening to that, in my mind, I was thinking about what I would say when we came back. And what I was going to say when we came back was everything that I said in the past. Like, just in some inside baseball, Mike has the keys to the soundboard. And that's why he knew how to speak Korean and French. Yeah. So I guess I haven't changed all that much.
Listen, you're consistent in multiple perspectives. One of them is describing the inside baseball. It's the only thing you know about baseball is related to the Shrek soundboard.
The only thing I know about baseball is what's inside of it.
Which is, I think, cork.
I think, is it cork?
I think it's cork.
I meant like baseball, like the what's the soul?
Oh, you mean more what's in the metaphorical baseball.
Yeah.
Do you think the smoke monster is a baseball?
Definitely. 100%. Absolutely. Should we give an MVP point to a baseball when Dogen shows up with a baseball?
Listen, we're going to be looking for a lot
let's
of people to give MVP points
let's,
to.
Let's try not to forget that. We want to give Dogen an MVP point for or Dogen's baseball.
We won't be getting to season 6 by our second birthday, so maybe we'll play this to remind it. Also, I looked it up. Baseball has a rubber-covered cork core.
Hey, how about that? How about that? How about that? Shrekman was hysterical. And it was great because at that point, like you were saying, you were like, I got to introduce someone. I'm like, oh, shit. Here he goes. Here he goes. Here goes Mike Bloom. Ready to rock.
And Shrekmond, it's been a while since he's appeared. You know, I think we've trended more towards Groundskeeper Willie in season 3. Yeah. We'll see what other Scottish counterparts will come in. Maybe a fat bastard or two will make an appearance.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, look, it's lost. We are people who are never going to turn away cockamamie convoluted theories about the show, because that's what makes a fan base so much fun. And we're certainly going to get to a couple. Let's go to mine first, because this is a pretty ridiculous conspiracy theory about Lost, even by my standards.
Here he is with Susan. He and Susan, they're going crib shopping, and then they start talking about how Michael wants to name him Walt. Wants to name him after his father, Walt. So the fact that he wants to name Walt after his dad, Walt, like, strikes me as like they probably had a pretty good relationship, Michael and Walt Dawson.
Here's my first theory, and this is going to be off the wall, Josh. I'm very excited to get your thoughts on this, because it goes back to Michael's parents. Like you said, we know a bit about Walt's mother. You know, he's the one who in Exodus sort of freaks out on the phone in the airport, calling her and saying like, hey, I don't know if I can do this. Can you take him? Very bad, job, considering that Walt is listening nearby. But we don't know anything about Michael's father, except for the fact that Michael wants to name him after his father. Here is my theory. What my theory presupposes is that Michael never knew his father. Because, you know, all the best daddies, it just connects back. And it also makes sense in that one of the reasons maybe why Michael's having such a tough time parenting is he has nothing to base it off of. You know, if he grew up in a fatherless household, he can't necessarily say, okay, I'll just raise Walt the way my dad raised me when I was 10. Because he doesn't have that situation, which puts him even more, a little bit of a greenhorn. So my theory here, my little headcanon, is that Michael's father and mother both met and got, congenial when they were working together in one of the Disney parks in the 70s, whether it was Disneyland, Disney World, etc. After getting congenial, Michael's mother got pregnant. Michael's father realized that that's not something he wanted to do at this moment. He pulls a Thomas. He leaves the state. Michael's mother is left, without her partner as she raises this child. She raises the child alone, but not really alone. because she still continues to work at Disney, which means that young Michael Dawson spends a lot of time in the Disney parks as well. You know, the babysitters are hard to come by, so he sort of ends up tagging along with mom to work and hanging around the park. As Michael becomes more acquainted with the Disney parks, that's when he begins to fall in love with this concept of animation. And that's when he decides to, you know, maybe pursue art. He also has a little bit of interest in construction, you know, watching the roller coasters and the way that all these different types of buildings and architectural styles that are used in the parks. So when it comes to Michael having his own son, he decides to name him after his father, but not his biological father. He wants to name it after the father who built this magic kingdom that made Michael the person he is today with the interests he has today. And he decides to name him Walt after Walt Disney.
Is this real?
This is my theory.
Your theory is that Walt is named after Walt Disney? And you mean it? Is it a joke or is it real? I don't know.
I mean, I just sort of like made the connection because, I mean, it's also interesting as from an ABC show, you're looking at like Walt, hey, is named at, you know, Walt, there's a guy named Walt affiliated with ABC who is responsible for, also has a link with animals, also, you know, was denoted as special, you know, held a big place, worked a lot with children, sort of had a childlike imagination. There's also a guy named Michael. There's certainly a Michael affiliated with the Disney Corporation who's known for making bad decisions and sometimes being a little personally brusque and being a not so well-regarded character. And so it just made me think, like, I don't know, the thing that really made it connect for me is, like, maybe Michael was inspired by Walt Disney to, like, start drawing things, you know? I feel like this theory might have legs before it gets run over by a car by our listeners.
Mike, I gotta know, were you punking me or did you mean it?
Why not both? There can be sincere punks.
Another favorite thing of mine on Down the Hatch is when both of us, like, throw out a cockamamie theory that it's hard to know whether or not we actually believe it. Mm. And I mean that, like, both, like, it's hard for me to know if you believe what you're saying, and then sometimes it's hard for me to know if I believe what I'm saying.
So it sort of works in both ways, that you don't believe the words that are coming out of your own mouth.
I mean, I couldn't tell in that moment whether you were actually serious that you believed that Walt was named after Walt Disney. And to be fair, you know, about a year or so, not quite a year later, I still don't fully know. Yeah. I still don't fully know.
It hasn't been debunked, which means it's confirmed to me.
So
there's
it's not
no
confirmed
evidence
yet.
To the contrary. You know, there's
this is an active kill. It's
yeah,
an
exactly.
Active kill.
Darlton hasn't come out. You know, Harold Perrineau, Malcolm David Kelly haven't come out and said no. Expressly, Walt was not named after Walt Disney. So I'm going to choose to continue to keep believing it because, damn it. When you're owned by the mouse, you gotta pay lip service to it, especially when you're a nubile show, right? When you're a show just starting out, gotta grease the pockets of the company that's helping keep the lights on the beach.
Now, would you say that the show at the time was a little baby show?
Oh, God. Well, it's perfect timing.
Just a tiny little baby of a TV show?
Well, we talked about little baby Walt and who he possibly was named after. Going to get into this clip where, again, as I've said, Josh and I have an opportunity to get really personal about Lost. That's one thing that I've really taken away from this rewatch and what makes this project so special to me after we just talked about the episode special is because you say so many times, Josh, Lost meets you where you are. And I think a lot of places that where we are right now in life, in both the world and our personal lives, sort of maps onto the way that we view episodes and characters. And in watching an episode of Fire Plus Water, which I know during whatever the case may be, Josh, you said was the worst episode of Lost. From a ranking perspective, it is currently the worst episode of Lost, according to our ratings. When we got into Fire Plus Water, I realized that one of my deepest fears / annoyances was seated in this episode. Let's take a deep dive into the psyche of Mike Bloom as we listen to this.
Oh,
merciful okay. cut.
All right, Josh, I have to come clean about something to you. This is something I haven't told my wife or my parents, anybody in the world.
Wow.
The powers that be.
So definitely just tell me. Yes. And not all of the people listening to this podcast.
There is something that I've discovered in the myriad pieces of pop culture that I've taken in really, really unnerves me. Sends my skin crawling, like makes me sort of break out in a flop sweat. For some reason, makes me feel disproportionately uncomfortable to the innocence that's being portrayed on screen. That thing is adults acting and dressing like babies. I don't know why, but every time I see it, my heart goes into palpitations. My legs start jittering. I need to get up and do something. I feel like I can't be sitting there. I feel like what I'm watching is wrong. It's not right. I'm a pretty open person, you know, but this is where I draw the line.
That's your line.
That's my line. Who are you coming with? As long as you're not wearing diapers, you're fine with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
So I'll admit that, yes, some people might find this scene comical. This scene is one of the most cringeworthy to me in Lost history because its highlight are four grown men wearing diapers.
I think now I love the scene. I think I love it. I think I love it. I think I love it. I think I do. I think I love it. I've cited this as like the reason why this episode is bad. But look, life is hard right now for everybody. Like I've had like a fairly rough week this week, and watching this, I could not stop laughing. And now hearing how personally triggering it is for you for like intangible, indecipherable reasons of like you just like feeling like there is something cosmically wrong
yes.
about adults dressing up as babies, which I'm not necessarily refuting, but doesn't send my skin crawling off my body as it does for you.
I was sitting skinless on my couch, Josh. My skin moved to another room to be like, I'm out of here until we come back.
I think that only moves the needle upward on the You All Everybody's for
no!
me. Because I think it takes a lot to find something that is like too far for Mike Bloom. Like what is it? What goes past full bloom?
It's an adult baby. Yeah, it's really like even just hearing the word brings up a visceral image in my mind that I'm not going to be shaking, Josh. For hours. I'm going to be trying to...
You're not
going to
shake it like one of those buddies.
Oh, my God. Or like... And then they're wearing a rattle, and he has a pacifier in his mouth.
And there is like sort of like this demonic smile on Dominic Monaghan as he's like shaking his smile, delivering the line of you all everybody's. That just feels wrong. It feels wrong. It doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right. And they're on 53 takes of this. Like, unless this is some like Francis Ford Coppola shit. Like, it's clear that Liam's screwing everything up. He's off on the kick. Apparently, him, and we'll talk about, there's a huge making of documentary for this episode of all episodes. Apparently, Liam falling through the bars of the crib was like a complete improvisation that they decided to go with. At least...
Well, after 53 takes, you know.
On the bright side, Charlie finally got to sing the lead on this one.
Mm-hmm, that's true. It's true. He gets to sing it out. He does sing the chorus to you all, everybody, after all.
Yeah, and You All Every Putties, the parody song. If only Dirt Spigot could do this, Josh. They do it in much less than 53 takes.
Oh my God. I am deceased. I'm dead. This is just I don't know where to go.
I don't know if I want a group called Dirt Spigot advertising my underwear.
No, definitely not. I don't think Dirt Spigot.
I feel like Dirt Spigot would be a nickname for my child at a certain point in those first few months.
Well, they're going to get the job because Charlie and Drive Shaft are going to get fired because Charlie won't ditch his brother. He's my blooder. He's my blooder. It's a bloody disaster.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlie was speaking like a baby because he got into character.
He's my brother.
Oh.
Boy, he's my brother.
Oh, my God.
Change my change my typo.
No. Oh my!
Give me my bottle.
Stop!
My brother stole my bottle.
Oh my god! I'm like on the pit end of my chair right now. I'm ready to jump out of it and like send my nest askew at this moment of electronic equipment. Oh, I got the willies. Not the dropping a load variety, but because of that baby talk. Like, this is me in real time freaking out to these types of things.
Are you feeling rattled right now?
Is the down the hatch coverage of the you all everybody's moment, the you all everybody's of down the hatch?
I think it might be. Like, people are witnessing me going through a nervous breakdown as we're recording the podcast.
Do we need to stop down? Do you need to gather yourself? Or do we just need
right,
to
let's
move
just
on?
Move on. Okay. Let's just move
all right,
on.
All right, we'll move
about
on.
It. Let's go back to the grown adults, please.
You know, that lived up to the hype for me. I don't know if it did for anyone else.
I think we're the tail end. Look, we're going to Perry Como, Papalo's Mambo, the exact opposite end of the age spectrum.
You really don't like babies, huh? Or adults who talk like
them? I'm hovering over the end call thing right now.
We don't have to linger on it. I think we just listened to a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. We don't need to belabor the point, you know, even though people are in labor to give birth to adult babies. But yeah, it's something that really... Just even just like listening to that clip and imagining Driveshaft in the diapers and Liam strung out, probably using the diapers, like that just really gets my mind in a very udgy place.
Yeah, but you exposed yourself in a way that I felt like this was a vulnerability I didn't feel that bad about exploiting in the moment.
if this was like a more deep-seated fear of mine, you would have felt bad about poking that bear.
Yeah, I don't know if this makes me a bad person or like a mean-spirited guy, but like it felt like this was an opportunity to like get you back for Count Jakula.
That was the long con.
It was the long con. It was like, you know, like they, like you really, really got under my skin with Count Jakula. I had to pay you back with adult babies.
I guess an eye for an eye in that regard, a diaper for a diaper. Well, look. If there's one thing I'm known for in the RHAP universe is going, I think what Josh and Antonio once coined the term full bloom, and we go pretty full bloom during a certain part of our Confidence Man podcast when talking about the utility of certain foods in the bedroom. Let's take a listen. I mean, on that note, I think that the advent of ice cream in Sawyer's sexual exploits is not a very well thought out idea. You know, I guess it's on her for suggesting that dish, but also ice cream is a colder temperature. I feel like when it comes to the erotic food tactics, usually it's, you know, strawberries and it's chocolate. It's not something that's usually
so
sort of a freezing
so
temperature.
Much insight here.
You know, it'd be like, oh, can't wait to pour these enchiladas on you and eat you like a dish. You know, like, don't go at any extreme temperature.
Okay, enchilada lovemaking to the frozen donkey wheel for the next iteration of the frozen donkey wheel. May we never go under 2 hours so we can never be at risk.
So we'll never eat enchiladas off of each other.
Now, Mike, because we do get so personal on this podcast, I have to ask. No, I'm not going to complete this.
Well, I will say, incidentally or not, I did eat enchiladas before coming onto the podcast.
Today?
Did, like an hour ago.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't want to find out what you did afterwards.
I might need to visit a burn ward after this podcast. God.
Oh, no! From the flame station to the staff.
Oh, I love that. I love using Dharma stations as euphemisms. Why have we not done that soon enough? But yes, I mean, we just covered a Sawyer episode. This is the first Sawyer flashback episode. And he has had many partners. We don't know if enchiladas have made their way into any of them, if he trusted Cassidy enough.
We can only hope. We can
go
only
the full
hope.
Lotta, but I guess we'll see. Well, actually, speaking of eating, let's move into the Josh Wiggler highlight. side of things. Because, you know, we spent...
I'm so nervous what you guys pulled.
We spent a full back half of season two really lauding the advent of the Henry Gale character and the Michael Emerson performance in general. But we were starting to get to a period where Benjamin Linus was going to get found out. We were in The Whole Truth, affectionately also known as The Whole Tooth. Because this is the episode where I think we said Hurley gives Son a bar of candy, and that's how we remember it, because Bernard doesn't like cavities. And so, Josh, you sort of provided an out that Benjamin Linus could have used to stymie the search party of one suspicious Saeed Jarrah that would eventually expose him as not who he says he is.
They go on the walk. They reach this cliff. That's part of the map. Any commentary on the map that Henry drew, by the way?
I mean, it seems like something like a parent would come up for their eight-year-old, right? Like a backyard adventure. This is where the treasure is. It's in the sandbox. Yeah. Like, what did he say? Like, start here, mountain, hill, balloon. The island's full of these things. Like, good on these people for actually being able to find the damn balloon given those extremely vague instructions. I'm assuming that's why Ben purposely made them vague, right? Like, I'm not sure how much he actually wanted to send them there, because obviously, you know, he might have a little inkling of an assumption that they would dig up the real Henry Gale and completely disprove his story.
I think he knows that it's a risk, but I think he also must figure, like, I gotta give them something. I have to show them the balloon, and then if I show them the balloon, then I can infiltrate them further. They will be like, all right, he's who he says he is. And then, like, he'll start, like, showing signs of, like, medical distress and then being like, Jack, my back. Oh, there's something wrong with my back. Could you? I don't know if you could just, like, look at my back. You know, like, I think something like that.
Yeah, so he thinks, like,
it's a roll the dice type of move. How crazy are these people to find out if I'm one of them? Is Saeed really going to? And he doesn't know that Saeed is going. And maybe he assesses Anna Lucia as not savvy enough to go digging underneath the balloon for the body. Like, maybe he shouldn't have, like, said that that's where he buried the body. If there was a body to be found there, maybe he should just say, like, I threw her body out to sea. I don't know.
Yeah, I gave her a Viking funeral. I ate her. I'm so sorry.
I ate her. It's part of my trauma.
It was the only thing that could bring me closer to home was eating my wife.
You ate her? Where are her clothes? I ate those too. Everything.
I'm a clothes eater. I was hungry. It was 2 months.
There's literally no trace of her.
I ate the bones. I ate the toenails.
I ate it all. All of it. The whole thing is gone. My teeth really hurt because I got all of her food stuck in my teeth. I need to see a dentist. It's the whole tooth.
What'd you learn in there, Saeed? He ate his wife.
So he should have said that and then should have told them about the balloon. They're like, oh, there is the balloon.
And his wife isn't there because he ate her.
Because he ate her. There's no sign of her. So story checks
Except
out.
You know what's going to happen. Saeed's going to kill somebody and be like, go ahead, eat him.
Prove to me that you can do it again. but it's Ben. He would do it, probably, you know?
Well, I suppose if I got any milk.
He might have a hard time, like, okay, can we boil some of this leather? Like, I think he'd have a hard time with the clothes. But I think he would be game to do it.
Please eat his shorts.
Eat my shorts. That's what it is. We don't even have to kill anybody. Saeed takes his shirt off.
Go ahead, eat
this right now. He's like, oh, but won't you be cold without your tent? I'll just get another.
Don't worry about it.
I'll find another one. Or Mr. Echo, your shirt's falling off. Can we get this?
Maybe Mr. Saeed gives Mr. Echo's little beard hairs to Ben. Yeah. Go ahead. I know you can eat the beard hairs.
And then what if Ben eats them? He's like, delicious. And they're like, oh God, he might be telling the truth.
All right, I guess we'll have to let him go because he ate his shirt and struck his beard.
The dumbest thing. Anyway, so that's clearly what he should have done if he didn't want to get caught. What's going on?
I should notice at the point that we said this podcast went way off the rails was about 30 minutes before we suggested that Ben should have said that he ate his wife.
Yeah.
Well, we have a good time here.
That was a foolproof plan from my perspective. From both sides, Ben could have said he ate his wife, and Saeed, in turn, should have indeed taken off his dirty tank top and said, prove it, eat this in front of me.
I think, like, listening back to this, and it's been a little while, not, like, terribly long since that podcast, but, like, I stand by everything we said.
Yeah.
There's not a bit of it that I don't still feel very strongly that should have happened.
Saeed Jarrah's seen a lot of shit in his day, but I don't think he's seen a full-out cannibal. Like, I think that's something that he could legitimately blanch at, and he is not one to blanch.
He ate his wife. And you believe him? I do. He ate my shirt.
Just poor Bin Laden being like, Jack, I need you to operate on my back. Also, please check my stomach. I ate a shirt.
I have found that the key to my podcasting success, if I've had any, is as long as I'm having a good time, it seems like the people who stick around are having fun. So the amount that we were laughing in that moment, I do wonder, was that a moment that everyone was laughing at, or was it just us? And if it was just us, I'm really okay with that.
Well, speaking of wondering things, let's move from a clothes eater to another type of clothes eater in The Moth, the episode The Moth. You said, we just talked about a recent episode. This is all the way back.
Took me a second to realize you were talking about the fact that moths eat holes through your clothes.
Yes, exactly. Not Charlie Pace.
that's
not the bloody clothes eating god.
Hidden talent from the bloody rock god.
But, Josh, this is the first episode that really sets up what I would call probably one of the most memetic moments of Down the Hatch, where you decide to make a presupposition about whether or not a creature appears in many, many different forms on the island.
Any chance that the moth is a dead moth and it's the smoke monster in the guise of a dead moth, the smoke monster?
Yes, I love this idea that the smoke monster is now bugs. I think we've just become so paranoid that every episode
everything
we're gonna
is be like, the smoke
monster. Here's a creature. Could this be the smoke monster?
Absolutely. All right.
And how often do we say, like, that's the smoke monster? Quite often, because it's the smoke monster.
Yeah. To the most recently, I think we have now turned the smoke monster into something that can shrink down and crawl inside your body.
Yeah, it can control your vocal cords.
It can control your ears.
Yeah, it can enhance your hearing.
Yeah, so I guess
it's definitely going to come back as more bugs later this season in Exposé.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a boar before. Mm-hmm. It took many. It was arguably Dave in the episode Dave too. Mm-hmm. So the smoke monster has appeared throughout its time on the island. Since we know that it is officially canon, I think one thing we like to do in Lost is really try to retcon and headcanon what was currently happening in the show, knowing what the future of the show is going to look like, even if Darlton didn't at the moment. And I will say the smoke monster has made his way into many a random thing that will appear in the island from time to time.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of, like, the historical place of this podcast falling in between Every Man for Himself and, more to the point, right in front of the cost of living, which is going to be the Mr. Echo deathisode via smoke monster, I've got a lot of thoughts on, like, the long game of the smoke monster, which we know a bit more of nowadays, now that we know who and what the smoke monster is all about. So it's good joke fodder, but I really do think that one of the things that delights me the most about Lost is just, like, the headcanoning of everything. Mm-hmm. I find it to be very, like, just a very fun, like, relaxing place to be, because I love these characters in this world so much. So I don't care if any of it's real or not. I just enjoy it very much. And there is a big piece of smoke monster lore that is coming up in the cost of living that I've been very excited to get to for many moons now. So, there's no question that it's the smoke monster that destroys Mr. Echo. The question is why? And I'm looking forward to talking about all that. I think that's going to be fun.
Unless we get to another Bopo theory and there's two smoke monsters and one's a clone of the other.
Good. It could be. Well, there used to be a theory. It's real. There used to be a theory that there were, like, two smoke monsters. There's the Man in Black smoke monster, and Jacob had a smoke monster form too. And that was, like, what the white light was all about. But
interesting.
You never see anything about that.
Well, Josh, one of the big takeaways that we've had through Down the Hatch is you have said many stories about the great times you had in college getting to watch Lost with your friends. There are many moments. You've talked about the infamous one of the people at your watch party predicting that Ben was somehow the leader of the others back when he was Henry Gale. But I think one of the things that really gets taken away are certain line readings throughout the course of Lost that have become stuck in your brain over the course of time, no matter how many time streams you jump through. So we're going to dunk on a couple here. This first one is from that aforementioned 5-hour Exodus podcast.
Another flashback. We go back to the airport in Sydney, and this is we're continuing the scene where Sun has spilled the coffee on Jin. We briefly see Saeed with some airport attendants. This is literally the only Saeed we get in this episode of a flashback variety, other than when he gets on the plane. I have a plane to catch. And then Jin goes to the bathroom, and here is a man in a Hawaiian shirt asking Jin if he can pass him some paper towel. And he goes, oh, you don't speak English, I'm sorry. And then the man in the Hawaiian shirt goes to the paper towel dispenser and in Korean says the words, ah, here's a paper towel. The inflection with which he says those words, one of my absolute favorite line reads in the history of television. Here's a paper towel.
I mean, it's supposed to be surprising and a big twist, right? It's going to be
like
menacing.
Threatening, right?
Yeah,
like,
but at the same time,
threatening.
It's the most the least menacing line ever. Like, ooh, a paper towel.
Here's a paper towel.
Which is why
I love like how Jin's reaction is kind of like more bewilderment than fear at first. Like, and it's why the Hawaiian shirt guy has to like clarify. It was like, okay, so I work for Peak. I work for your boss. I know that you're trying to run away. You can't do that. You got to go to LA. You got to do the thing. And if you do anything else, you'll lose Sun forever. You're never going to be free. You've never been free. You'll never be free. And like all of that is like really sad and scary and stuff. But for me, it has never read as threatening because it has all stemmed from the godhead of, ah, here's a paper towel.
Well, also not to mention that he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. And not to say that people wearing Hawaiian shirts can't be intimidating.
Dodgson. We got Dodgson here.
Yeah, and Hawaii 5-0 is like, you know, which Jin is going to be a part of, was built around doing that. But at the same time, like, wearing a colorful flamboyant shirt and not looking as just from a body type the most intimidating does not really read as a gangster. I guess that's the point, is that he's supposed to be like, show that, hey, Paik has eyes everywhere, even in the most milquetoast touristy
right.
guy.
It's like Dark Army.
Yeah, but also, I'm interested as to why he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt in Australia. Like, if they were filming in Hawaii, which they were, it would make sense as to why he's wearing that, but I can't imagine many people wear Hawaiian shirts outside of tropical climates.
I just love that so much. Here's a paper towel.
Which is a less intimidating line? Ah, here's a paper towel, or
ha 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 ha, here's a paper towel. If you
there we go. I think
together.
We found the perfect marriage.
That's so great. Oh my god, with a pretty low divorce rate, I believe.
Could you imagine Ars running in and just like grabbing a paper towel? So it's just the perfect combination.
Yes, I can.
And now in 2020, you go to a grocery store and with stars in your eyes, you say, ah, now there's a paper towel.
Or there's toilet paper.
There's a toilet paper towel. Yeah, new context. Context is king.
Yeah, so this was a big line. That's what I love about this too, Josh, is there are little moments that like you have always identified that I have never realized. And that's what the fun thing about watching Lost too is the show is so densely packed from a visual and audio perspective that you lose so many things, even the first 3 or 5 times you watch it, that going back, you get to pick up on so many little things, whether incidentally or not. In this case, it's just the poor accidental delivery of this guy playing menacing Hawaiian shirt man ends up cementing itself in Down the Hatch history.
Yeah, I've always loved that line. I had such a fun time talking about it on the podcast. It's just ridiculous. Why is that the thing he says to reveal? Guess what, buddy? I speak your language, and here's a paper towel to prove it.
Well, he is asking for a paper towel initially, wanted to use the Duolingo and like do the literal translation.
Yeah,
shall
maybe,
we?
Maybe.
He can seamlessly go through.
Yeah, could be.
But Josh, this is not the last time you're going to open our eyes to a particular line reading, as I think we're all looking at Michelle Rodriguez a bit differently after you pointed this out to us.
He has the gun out. She's asking a lot of questions, and they're very tough questions. And it's only at the very end that he starts to suspect that maybe she's asking too many questions about the gun. But by the time he puts that together, she hits him in the arm and takes the gun, and she's got the gun. And she has what I would consider to be, within my own personal Lost fandom, an iconic line. And the iconic line, more of an iconic line read, is Michelle Rodriguez as Ana Lucia Cortez calling to Mr. Echo, "Coming out! Coming out! Coming out!"
Was Echo,
I don't know how many times I have said those words in Ana Lucia voice over the course of my life. Once again, with my friend who I say, "I'm so sorry, Wiz."
Or, now that's a paper towel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is really stayed with me, is "coming out! Coming out!"
Now we're this is not the flashback. We're in the present saying "coming out." We're coming out of a flashback.
I forget what we said during when we were listening to the very first clip, the introduction to Down the Hatch, but we were like talking about how there's going to be a new episode coming every single week, and like current me was like quietly whispering to myself, "Coming out." Like it's definitely invaded like every podcast that I do.
Yep.
I said it on the Wiggle Room the other day. I'll say it until my dying day. This is like, I found like in certain podcast projects, like there's like one or two things that continue on and become like, these are the iconic lines for me to continue saying past the point of the project. Like for the evolution of strategy for me, it's happening. It's real.
Mm.
And I think for Down the Hatch, until further notice, it's probably going to be coming out.
Or further instructions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want that as my epitaph as well. COMIN. Capital G.
G. O-U-T. O, capital O-U-T as well.
Like, I know it's tough to emphasize a line reading on a tombstone. Mm-hmm. Maybe hopefully that was on Ana Lucia's tombstone.
Oh, yeah. Coming in to her grave.
Well, let's talk about someone who died alongside Ana Lucia. Sort of. She died shortly thereafter. But someone who shares a grave plot with her. Going back to our cockamamie theories, Josh, when we did the episode, Dave, you came up with the ultimate unifying theory as to what the hell Libby is all about. She's one of the most enigmatic characters in Lost history. This is your Libby theory in two parts compiled as one.
I don't feel like I need permission to view Dave as the man in black. I think I could just choose to look at him that way because I think the episode is more thematically strengthened that way. Like whether or not it's like the man in black can pull a manifestation from your head, a memory, an image from your head and embody it for a period of time. Or Dave is secretly Libby's husband and she escaped the Santa Rosa when Dave escaped Santa Rosa and they ran off together. And then Dave won a lot of money, bought her a boat, died because Libby like clocked him in the back of the head because he was annoying and she buried him in the bottom of the boat and then gave the boat to Desmond as a gesture of goodwill, but actually as a means of hiding the body. And Desmond takes the boat to the island and little does he know that he has had a dead body in the bowels of the ship the entire time. And Dave's body is now on the island and now the man in black can connect. Oh, that's Dave. That's the guy that Hurley knew from the mental hospital that was photoshopped out of the picture by the dastardly Dr. Brooks. Let me take him on and see if I can lead Hurley to jumping off a cliff. I can live with that too. So there are ways in which I can live with the logic that Dave is the smoke monster. I don't really care. I just really don't care. Like, I think like, it's viewed better that way. I think it's just, yep. It's a more exciting episode and whatever logical leaps you need to take in order to get to Dave as the smoke monster, take them, because I really believe that it's a better episode when you view it that way. Yes, and Eric Divestein had asked us, can you fill in the blanks with some fan fiction, what happened to Libby between Santa Rosa and her meeting with Desmond? And Mike, I believe that I have presented my fan fiction. I have presented my fan fiction that Libby comes from the future. She lives a long life with Hurley, and when she comes to Hurley in this moment, at the end of Dave being very evocative of the end itself, do not mistake coincidence for fate. Why not read it that way? Lost never is going to explain it for you. If you need an explanation for Libby, there it is. She's time traveling, Dave marrying Libby.
I'm still not sure about the day marrying aspect of it, personally.
That's the part. I'm the least married to that, personally. But the Dave marrying gets Dave's body to the island so that the smoke monster can wield it against
me. I don't know if we need that part. Like, I just think maybe I just appreciate Libby as too much of a character for her to be like, really? She's knocking boots. She's knocking slippers with Dave.
No, it was the paper marriage. Paper marriage.
What? Does he need a green card?
Yeah, green card to get to the island.
All right, it's 90 Day Fiancé, Lost Edition.
Look, I'm fine to lose the Dave marrying.
Yeah, we're workshopping your ending here. I would say let's scrap the Dave marrying thing, and yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but I think it works. Why not? I think time travel really does just answer a lot of the questions that are left hanging by Lost.
Look, I cannot knock your ending while simultaneously saying that I liked my version of Michael naming his son after Walt Disney.
I was just thinking that.
You have found your version of that, and I am celebrating the heck out of it, sir.
I think mine is a little more plausible than Walt Disney.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's not throw coconuts here.
No, I'm going to throw those coconuts, Mike. Time travel is part of Lost. Hurley is the new man in charge at the end of Lost. Why wouldn't he be able to go off island and meet a Libby who is from that time? And then she goes back in time knowing that, like, she has to in order to continue the time stream and keep everything on track so that their beautiful life together occurs.
Again, I believe all of that. I maintain every single thing that I said in that.
I mean, I think it's officially Lost canon. I think that, you know what, Lostpedia, fire it up, edit it. It's officially sanctioned now. Granted, we're the ones that are stamping the stamp of approval, but I think it holds a lot of water, much like the Elizabeth.
When this podcasting gig, Mike, lands us the keys to Lost 2, it's going to be truly canon. Like, that is where I'm going with this.
Oh, just you wait until the opening episode of Lost 2 when we go to Disney World and it pans, much like the first episode of season 5, it like goes inside Walt Disney Studios and Walt Disney is sort of there raising baby Walt for some reason, and we have to figure out exactly how that happened.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That can definitely be a part of it for sure.
Well, we've done enough highlighting of our individual selves. Let's talk about two other characters that we have embodied. And I'm not talking about Count Jakula and Shrekmund. Josh, you and I have had the opportunity twice now to play Billy and Rodney, two other characters, much like Nikki and Paolo, who we've been very recently introduced to on the podcast, who were there. They were on Oceanic 815.
The entire time.
They were there the entire time. They crashed alongside everybody else, but they are far from the action. They occasionally get into, you know, into some conflict or some dialogues with other characters, but they are pretty much doing their own thing while the main action is going on. We, of course, have done this with the fantastic Rich, a.k.a. R. Philly, who has been our Jacob, shepherding us through all these ridiculous scenarios. So we're going to play a couple of clips from Tales from the Island, our RPG series. The first one we did actually came right after Walkabout, all the way back nearly a year ago, when we were introduced to these two characters. Here are the opening minutes of Tales from the Island.
We open on an eye, because of course we open on an eye. It's an eye that's covered in sand, blue in hue with specks of red, blood from the passengers of Oceanic 815. But don't be freaked out. It's just a fake eye. It's just a glass eye that has been squashed and strewn about the beach of the island as Oceanic 815 has just crashed, the wreckage still smoking as survivors of this improbable act of disaster are running all over the beach, screaming for their loved ones, trying to make sense of their circumstances. And one of those people is Billy Wallace. And Billy Wallace is the owner of this fake eye, and he is covering the empty socket that he hopes nobody will see. He is so frazzled. He is so scared. He is so anxious. He is so confused. But most of all, he feels very, very mortified and self-conscious if anybody gazes upon his true face. So with one hand over his eye, he is scrambling across the beach, looking to find this missing item that is so typically snugly in his head. And there he sees it across the way. He has to hop over smoking pieces of jet plane and bodies, B-O-D-Y-S, that he is climbing over, and he is just within reach of the small orb on the beach when suddenly
a big black booted foot stamps down on Billy's eye as he looks up in simultaneous frustration and a startled moment. He sees a nicely toned pair of legs leading up to a six-pack beyond all belief, to a pair of pecs with a giant gash across it. But that is the only mark that cuts through the beauty of the one and only Rodney Sesto. The man with hazel green eyes looks back at the one-eyed man. He had just been gathering some seawater to help wash some of the cuts that were going on with all the people in various circumstances. A triage was almost set up around Rodney, his attempt to assist in at least some regard before a man named Jack Shepherd will eventually take over as he vaults out through the jungle. He looks down and sees the eye that he stepped on, not even realizing that it was just a small rock at first. Rodney picks up the eye curiously between two fingers, putting his task aside. He looks down at the man clutching his eye and simply asks, "This yours, man?"
And Billy responds, "You stepped on my eye, Sticks."
Not thinking of any sort of comeback in true Rodney fashion, he simply throws the eye back to Billy, turns around, accidentally splashing a bit of water in this poor one-eyed man's face, and goes back to running.
And this is the start of a terrible friendship.
I laughed so hard just now, reliving you saying a six-pack beyond all belief. It's such a great turn of phrase. And because I also like imagine like Rodney having your head.
But just so, this like big bulky body.
Yeah, like your head on this gigantic bulky body. And just like, I love imagining you having this sense of self. That's like my six pack. That's beyond all belief.
You thought you could believe a six pack.
A pair of Hex. It kills me. Billy and Rodney are the best. These two goobers. We haven't visited with them in a while, and I'm really eager to get back to Billy and Rodney.
You know, it's interesting that you say they're the best, because they are certainly capable of doing the worst. Let's go to our second Tales from the Island series, where Billy and Rodney will run into a couple of familiar characters, and things do not go well.
I think it's at this moment you guys hear a voice from the jungle behind you like,
"That was fantastic. Hey, guys."
And like you turn and a figure steps out, clearly having been following you down the trail at a distance to keep himself concealed. And we see this sort of dirty blonde haired man, his hair tousled, a week's worth of beard stubble growth on his once clean shaven face. And I think he's got a blanket from Oceanic 815 kind of tied around his neck and then again around his waist, kind of like an apron almost. And he's holding a large knife in one hand. And he kind of waves at you with the free hand. Don't worry. I don't know if you guys recognize me. We haven't formally met yet. I'm Chef Jeff.
Oh, Chef Jeff!
Ronnie picks up a stick and pure animalistic instinct throws one of the pointy sticks at him.
Oh, no! Chef Jeff screams as the spear goes flying at him. Rodney, roll a body plus force roll. Oh, God.
Okay, that is six dice. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
R.I.P. Chef Jeff.
Does not bode well for Chef Jeff.
Yeah, that's a success.
All right, and to interrupt the success, Billy goes, no, no, that's Chef Jeff! And he picks up another of the spears and throws it at the spear that Rodney had thrown.
Oh, sweet mother of Moses. So, where Rodney has fired this spear off with his incredible physique and power, it's as it hurtles through the air towards Chef Jeff, Billy snaps into action throwing his. So we're going to have you make another body plus a force roll to see
which
if you
what?
Can intercept
it.
Just three.
Oh, yep. Boy. That's a failure.
Yeah, so okay. I assume that now both spears thud into Chef Jeff.
Yeah. Billy's spear clearly, like, hurtling towards Rodney's, and Chef Jeff is like, no! As the first spear just harpoons him right in the soft belly through the blanket of the Oceanic A15 apron that he's wearing. The lock, the knife that he got from John Locke falls helplessly to the ground at his side as he clutches it, bending over, at which point the second spear hurled by Billy Wallace just smashes into his shoulder, spinning him around as he falls to the ground in silence, blood beginning to well up underneath him. And Sullivan's like, oh my God, what have you done?
He came out of nowhere. That was another boar.
Billy looks down at the ground and picks up another spear and looks at Sullivan and raises it and throws it at Sullivan to keep the guy quiet from telling him.
Sullivan just... Billy, what are you? No! And so go ahead, roll again. Three dice for Billy if he tries to harpoon Sullivan.
There's a success in there.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
He got a success?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no. Sullivan, his hands straight up in the air, like in a helpless gesture of, please, no, as the spear plunges into his chest and he staggers backwards, falling over flat on his back, the spear pointing straight up into the sky, coughing. I think we see Sullivan reach up and scratch at the rash on his neck. As he slowly stops moving.
All right. So,
oh, my God. What have we done, Rodney? Oh, God.
Rodney slaps Billy and says, I got an idea. Don't worry.
What have we done? What do we do? What do we do? Do we eat first?
Just shut your mouth. Grab the boar. Let me do the talking.
A shocking development.
We murdered two people.
We killed Sullivan. That's why he never came back on the show.
Oh, my God. And not only that, later on in the episode, you're going to kill, I should say, Billy is going to kill at least one other person when he tries to ride a boulder at the caves and crushes a poor woman underneath it.
The thing is, we haven't done another episode since then, because, like, how do we top that?
I don't know how much more blood we can possibly get on these characters' hands. They're swimming in it.
Yeah, I feel like around the time of Exposé feels like that is very much the right time to do another episode of the Lost Art PG.
Does that imply that that's when Billy and Ronnie are going to die, just like Nikki and Paolo, and then we're going to have a sort of like a media res flashback as to how they got Paolo-lized?
Well, I do think, you know, if we do one per season, their season six storyline probably does have to be the Flash sideways, so... I expect that they probably have to die by season five.
Unless they're out in the jungle with Rose and Bernard.
No. Rose and Bernard wouldn't have tolerated them.
Plus, they probably would have murdered
Rose and Bernard. They probably would have murdered Rose and Bernard. Yeah, or Bernard would have, like, get off my lawn and, like, shotgunned them to death. But,
yeah, but if Bernard did kill them, you know, he'd feel really sorry afterwards.
So dumb.
Oh, Bernard shamefully disappeared from season three so far because he's probably was made fun of for his crying.
We've had some fun on Down the Hatch over this past year, is I think what we learned today.
I think so too. Yeah, that's all I've got.
That's it, right? I don't remember doing anything else over the course of these first.
I'm pretty sure we got. Let me just. I'm hearing.
Oh, hold on one sec. My phone's ringing.
Everybody with me. Drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you hang with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? Everybody with me. Drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with?
Of course we couldn't finish this without talking about DJ Drinks On Me. Are you serious?
Yeah, probably the most notable contribution to the Lost discourse over the course of Down the Hatch is the revelation of the true identity behind DJ Dom, which was something we were absolutely fascinated with when we got to Numbers. And it led to, I think it was like a 10-minute conversation about DJ Dom. That I died so thoroughly over that, like, we went through it in the actual doing of the thing. I pulled the clip, played it for my wife, who doesn't listen to Down the Hatch at all, listened to it with her, and also listened to it like three more times before the podcast came out. It cracks me up to this day thinking about it. It was just like one of the most ridiculous moments in time in my podcasting career. I think we probably ought to just play that in full.
We're going to play sound number three here, and it's going to begin with Hurley on the beach with like a shirt around his head as he's like trekking towards the wire. And then it's going to not the show, and it's going to segue to a flashback with Hurley and Carmen on the road. And we'll play some of that. But then we very quickly are going to need to talk about the sound that we hear at the very top.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to wrap it all up.
So let's get into it.
Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody.
Hey
y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with?
Sorry.
Is that your name?
Where are you taking me? You know very well I don't like surprises.
Oh, you don't like this one, Ma. I mean, after everything you've been through? Like, Grandpa?
Dios lo tenga en la gloria.
Did they have the funeral?
Mm-hmm.
Father Aguilar getting struck by lightning? Man, it was a freak storm. And Diego moving back home after Lisa left him for that waitress?
Don't mention that whore to me.
I'm just saying, you deserve something good to happen. You know, ever since I won the lottery, it's like we've had nothing but bad luck. Like, I don't know, the money's cursed or something.
Ow! That's blasphemy. You know very well we are Catholic. We don't believe in curses.
Jeez, Mom, just talking.
Josh, this is the most god-awful song I've heard in my life.
Mike, can you do me a favor? And can you just play the beginning of that sound again?
And
cut it off when Carmen asks Hurley to take the sound out.
Yeah.
I just need to hear who you came with and who you're living with one more time.
Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody.
Hey
y'all, who you came with?
That. It's awful. It is terrible lyrics.
Mike, do me just I need a quick solid from you if you don't mind. Would you mind just playing that song again just until like Carmen tells Hurley to turn the music down? I just need to hear that just one more time if that would be all right.
Okay. One more time into the club.
Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line,
So, Josh, Mike, surprise, surprise, Mike, this is an original Mike, composition.
Mike, there's no way. What is it? What is that? What is
you
this?
Know, you know what it was. This? It's Damon Lindelof. Michael Giacchino's like, great, I'm going to go on vacation. I'm going to go on a cruise because Uncle Tito didn't. And he's like, great, crap, we need some music to back this up. Okay, let me come up with some rap lyrics. Okay, everybody in the club, drinks on me.
Y'all, who you came with,
who you leaving with.
It's great, my okay, line, everybody with me. Who you came with, y'all, who you living with.
Just throw it into a beat, and I think we got a nice early 2000s hit there. I think we're
Mike,
good.
I want to find, so here's the thing. So nobody knows where that song came from. This is like a piece of this is a missing piece of lost lore that nobody knows how that song came to existence. There are people who have tried to find that song independent of Lost. It has not been found, which leads you to believe that, yes, it was created specifically for Lost. Why? Why and who? Who did this? And where can I buy the rest of the album? Mike, I really hope that I am going to be able to do like a phone interview with Damon Lindelof fairly soon, as it pertains to Watchmen. And you better believe that I am going, this will be the last question that I ask him.
Yeah.
I have to ask him. I have to get to the bottom of this. I don't know that I am going to be able to deliver an answer anytime soon. Maybe we'll edit it into a podcast so we don't have to leave everyone in the lurch once I know the answer. But I have to find out because that person needs a Wombat Station hat.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to find out the soon-to-be poet laureate who wrote Drinks on Me, parentheses, Everybody in the Club.
Mike, I actually, just before we move on, there is one more thing that I would love it so much if you could just play the song again, just like one more time, because we've played it three times. I feel like we got to play it a fourth time.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like the studio behind that made that is going to like go into bankruptcy or something, okay, assuming cool. that it still
yeah,
exists.
Yeah, let's just play it one more time.
All right. From our mystery DJ, here comes Drinks on Me, parentheses, who you come with, who you leaving with.
Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey, y'all, who you came with, who you leaving with? It's my line, everybody with me. Hey, y'all, who you came with, who you leaving with? Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey, y'all, who you came with, who you leaving with? It's my line, everybody
with me. Hey, y'all, who you came with? It doesn't even rhyme!
Hey, y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with?
Everybody
it's
in the club!
Drinks on me! It's so great! It's so great! It's so great! It's so good!
Also, why would... it's extremely rude for you, sir, to approach people in the club and say, hey, who'd you come in with, and who are you leaving with?
That's a very nosy person.
Yeah, like, I don't want a club busybody. I don't need him buzzing around.
Listen, and you can't just, like, buy that information out of me. I don't care that you're buying drinks for everybody in the club. It is not your business to know who I came here with, and certainly not who I'm leaving with.
And you're making a lot of presumptions, sir, that you think I would even want to get with somebody. Look, I know you're showing a lot of wealth in buying everyone drinks. You didn't say what drinks, I noticed. Are you going for the happy hour well drink special and being a cheapo depot? If that's so, I don't want to be knocking boots with you later on if I want to be the person that you're leaving with.
And I guess, like, if we want to be more fair to the singer, he does say, it's my line. Like, this, it does that mean, like, it's just a thing I say. I say, who'd you come with?
Oh,
who you leave with?
Interesting.
No one takes it personally all
I
the
took
time.
It
like,
more
this
so
is just, like,
my
catchphrase.
I took it as maybe, okay, you know what? Maybe the perspective is this is from a guy who owns this club. And so he's looking at the line of people outside.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
That's my line. You know, like, this is my club, and that's the line of people that are coming in. And I see who they're coming in with, but who they're leaving with, that's the big mystery.
Well, if he owns the club, then he's got, I do think he has somewhat of a right to know. At the
yeah, that's true. Like, who you come with, who you leaving with, do you have a ride home?
Yeah.
Did you drink responsibly?
Get home safe, everybody with me. Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah,
like,
everybody
I mean,
with
fun.
Me, I'm a designated yeah. driver. Nobody yeah. drink and drive at the same time.
Yeah, so like, if he bought drinks for everybody, then potentially everyone's wasted, and he has to make sure everyone's getting home safe.
Oh, I love this. He piles everyone into a school bus that he is also his. And yeah. he decides to host a caravan of driving people home, and he wraps a fond farewell to them when he drops them off.
I know that we're veering away from the numbers by doing this, and we've already gotten to an even
No, the bus seats 23.
But I do just, I do want to hear it one more time just to get the lyrics right and make sure that we feel like we've covered it thoroughly.
All right. So now listen and see if we're coming in from the perspective of the proprietor of this eponymous club, if that sort of changes, the lasciviousness of some of these requests.
Hey, yo, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey, y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? Everybody with me. Drinks on me. Hey, y'all, who you came with? Who you leaving with? This my line, everybody with me. Hey, y'all, who you...
See, if you look at it from that regard, it almost sounds like it's like the tale of a very responsible business owner.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also a responsible person, because he's not just buying drinks for everybody in the club. He says, everybody with me. So who came with him? The people that came with him, he is buying their drinks. But to broad brush that and say that he is buying drinks for everybody in the club, I think is attaching him to something that he did not sign on for. And I think that that's fair, because like you assume that he knows the people that he's brought with him. And so he's going to he knows who's drinking, who's not. He's just not buying like, you know, full drinks for complete strangers.
Yeah, maybe he's also seeing that some of these people are caught up with maybe some seedy looking people. So like, hey, who are you leaving with? I just want to make sure.
Yeah. And so like, he's going up to these people who are like, oh, that guy's buying drinks for that huge crew over there. I bet we could get free drinks from him. And then he's like, all right. Are you with me? Are you with part of like this group that I brought in? Okay. Who'd you come with?
Yeah.
Who are you leaving with? It's a test. It's like, do you know Spencer?
I don't know
and
if you
like,
know.
Yeah. I came here with Spencer. I'm leaving with Spencer. That's a trick. Spencer's not part of my crew.
I don't know if you know, but it's my line. That's my line out there. So I'm going to let me know exactly what's happening here. You know, I am someone, you don't know how much money and how much time I put into this. I had to take out a loan. I don't know if my kid can go to college after this to build this club and capitalize on one of my greatest dreams. I want to make sure that nothing shady or illegal goes down here, or I'm going to be on hot water. You know, it's me, DJ Squeezy.
It's my line. Yeah, it's my line. I am in deep trouble if you are not of age and I've bought you a drink, or if I've bought you a drink and you do something shady afterwards. Like, I'm going to, whether or not, like, I'm legally responsible, I'm going to have that on my conscience forever.
Exactly. And you're going to report me to the Better Business Bureau, too. And then I won't have a line, and I won't be able to afford buying drinks for everybody just because you didn't tell me who you came in with, nor who were you leaving with.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so that happens in the show.
I think we just gained the most sympathy for a rapper behind a random 30-second clip of Lost than I've ever seen.
That's my new favorite character on Lost.
What, should we give him a name?
I don't know. The genius who created Everybody With Me.
Oh, how about DJ Drinks On Me?
DJ Drinks On Me. That's good for now. Oh, my God. Soliciting names if we do not come up with a better one by the end of this podcast.
Oh, my
ridiculous.
God. We have came and left with so much since then.
And of course that, you know, it's such a journey. It's not unlike the Wanda journey for me. For those who know my Survivor podcasting hijinks, is that I didn't care for Wanda Shirk, who was singing all these songs on Survivor Palau by the time I reached the Evolution of Strategy volume 10, chapter 10, when we were talking about Survivor Palau. And then like over the course of like many, many jokes and many, many like, repeated instances of like considering Wanda, she became like my favorite person, of all time. Became like my mascot for podcasting. And like, I think like there was like a similar trajectory of like at first being like, this is the worst song ever with DJ Jinx on me. And now it's like one of my favorite songs of all time. No irony. Like it means the world to me because we were able, through the help of the great Mark Douglas, track down Chris the Glove, the great creator of DJ Drinks On Me, and that song, which I believe is called Who You Wit, is the name. We had the DJ Dom exposé'd party, and there's just too much gold from there that I don't think that we can even, isolate one single clip from it.
And Glove is just such like an enigmatic personality that I feel like taking anything out of context would just wrong him. So I very highly encourage, it's one of our, shorter podcasts, though again, that's not saying much, but essentially ends up sort of becoming an interview slash expose, in a manner of speaking, with Glove, where he talks about being able to record the song, what the song was about. We found out exactly who DJ Dom was. There, of course, is time traveling and possibly reality bending involved. This is so staggering to me, Josh, because like you said before, we're the dumb Lost podcast. We just played a bunch of clips that shows how dumb we are. But honestly, it is a source of pride in my heart that one of the biggest mysteries in Lost history, because before Down the Hatch, one of the biggest question marks, not the episode, was, okay, where the hell did that song come from? Because Michael Giacchino certainly didn't make it. You know, it seemed like in production, nobody really knew who wrote this random-ass 15-second, somewhat nonsensical song. And so we sort of put that question out there into the universe. The great Mark Douglas, as you said, did some deep diving, and we found a treasure chest in the form of Glove. And now I sincerely take with joy the fact that on the Lost Wiki page, lostpedia.com, the song now has us sourced as identifying who wrote the song
and
what the song was. Like, we have made the Lost history books, and they cannot take that away from us.
It's the one thing. It's the one thing we did, and I'm very proud of us for having done it. I'm very proud of Mark for the detective work, and I'm so thrilled to have Glove in my life in the capacity that I have him. We occasionally slide into each other's Instagram DMs. I put something up on Instagram a couple weeks ago that was like a black and white photo of Emily Fox, my wife, grilling in Maine, and saying, like, this is my album cover, is what she said. And Glove slid into my DMs. He's like, I'm ready. I'm ready to collaborate. there are some moments where like he comments on my stuff, and it's always a blast. So he's terrific. That was I think that also is representative of like a bunch of the people who like we've either become like pen pals with or outright friends with over the course of this podcast, whether it's the great Ben Behind the Curtain, who's become a huge part of my life, John Krause, who we've done the book clubs with, our Philly, Fitzy, who's doing all the social, like, and any number of people who write in, the regular customers. There's so many of you that to even attempt to name everybody, we're just not going to get everybody. It's been a blast. Like, I think that this has been a podcast that has like, it's made my life larger in all the ways that I would want it to, and exceeded all the expectations that I possibly could have had on it.
Could not agree more. And again, I set the expectations extra high because Lost is a show that is so near and dear to my heart. But I had never, despite the running gag about how many podcasts I appear on from time to time, I had never really engaged in a project that went beyond a few months, right? Because usually we're used to covering like a season of television, which is typically going to go for a few months, not once a week, every week for 52 weeks with some bonus episodes thrown in occasionally. So this is brand new, uncharted waters for the two of us. But unlike what happened to the raft at the end of Lost, it is smooth sailing here. I have had legitimately the time of my life getting to do this. I have cried on this podcast. I have, of course, laughed many, many times over the course of this podcast. I have had realizations about characters that I hated before, loved now, loved before, did not like anymore. There are so many different ways that the show has changed me as a person and continues to change me as a person. Lost is a blob. It is an ever-shaping show. And we
Lost is a smoke monster.
Yeah, and we are also smoke monster in our mind that we change and we are shaped. So even if you're thinking out there, like, I don't need to rewatch Lost again, I bet you dollars to donuts that you are in a different place in your life, that when you rewatch Lost, there are going to be certain things, people, or characters. I guess people and characters are the same thing, but moments that you associate yourself with more or less than you did before. And I cannot thank enough people who are joining us on the ride. Look, Josh and I are kooky enough that we could totally do this on our own to no audience whatsoever, but it has meant the world to me and beyond to hear so many people say, you know, I'm so happy you have this. Even if it's just an excuse to rewatch Lost again, people have watched Lost for the first time and then went back to listen to this podcast, which is a great excuse to get Lost into your life. The stories we've heard about what Lost has done for them is truly staggering and reminds you both how large and small this world can be. That one sort of out there yet so heartening TV show can bring so many people together from so many different walks of life, much like the passengers of Oceanic 815 under a crazy old umbrella. It's just, it is, it's beautiful, for lack of a better term. And I'm so happy that we're not done yet, and we're nowhere near done yet, especially because we're about to get into some really incredibly beautiful moments in Lost. You know, I looked back on the previous episodes that we did, and I'm like, oh man, we got to do the pilot and the end of Walkabout and, you know, the Wrath launch in Exodus, you know, Anna Lucia and Libby dying. And then you look ahead at all the great stuff we still have to go, and it just puts the biggest smile on my face. And I'm so...
It's got a lot of good podcasting coming up, yeah,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly, and I'm so happy that you all are there with us. And that being said, keep sending stuff in. You know, we are willing to entertain everything and anything, whether it's feedback about the last episode, whether it's theories about the upcoming episode, whether it's parody songs, whether it's Stefan Johnson, who tweeted to us basically a narrative of what our usual point systems for MVPs, LVPs end up being, which was a nice little look in the mirror at my own biases in a very sure. fun way. Yeah. But this podcast is only as strong as the community that builds it, you know? Listen together, podcast alone. And I think that we have felt such a great sense of people out there on these audio beaches. And considering where Lost is going to go, I can't wait for this group to keep building and building over the next year plus.
When we celebrate the second birthday of Down the Hatch, we will be a few months away from the end. So this is a time right now where, again, external forces notwithstanding, we still have a lot of road left to walk. But the next time we do this, and we will do this again next year, we will be closing in on the finish line. So let's enjoy this while we still have so much time left. Let's have fun. Let's chew on the themes. Let's chew on the characters. Let's find the meaning that this show, posits that you can apply to your own life during these crazy hard times. But let's lose our heads laughing over the DJ Dom stuff that we uncover along the way. I love being the Dumb Lost podcast. I think we have such a good time here, and we've got a lot of time still on the clock. Very, very excited about what the future holds for this podcast and what the immediate future holds, Mike, is the cost of living. That's where we're going next. We're back on track Fridays, for the podcast for the foreseeable future. We appreciate you tolerating the past couple of weeks of wonkiness. Then again, if you're binging these podcasts, you're like, I didn't get any of that. None of that made any sense to me. But we are back on Friday, starting with the cost of living, the final Mr. Echo episode, a huge mission statement in the Smoke Monster story arc, as mm-hmm. far as I am concerned. And I'm really, really pumped to dive into it.
Yeah. After celebrating our birthday, next week we celebrate Mr. Echo's death day.
Yes.
In a manner of speaking. Big moment for the character. I know it drew a few raised eyebrows back in the day, as I mentioned at the end of Every Man for Himself. But it's a big episode in so many ways. And I cannot wait to see how things look in the lens of the previous four episodes, in the lens of the Smoke Monster, which, as we talked about during the Monster of it all, now that we know the full story, how does that play into it? And I'm sure we're going to have a lot of random theories along the way, because this is Down the Hatch, the Dumb Lost podcast, and I'm so happy to be done with you.
Yeah, same. And we are not done with any of you. So happy birthday, Down the Hatch. Happy 815, all you Lost fans. We'll be back very soon with the cost of living. And as we close out, Mike, there is only one song to be played.
Everybody with me, drinks on me. Hey, yo.